inch by inch, row by row.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we continue with our conversation about pests in Juneau yards and gardens, but this week we go a little bigger than a grain of rice. And with us on the line is Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
And so the slugs are out again, aren't they?
They are indeed. They are crossing the road. Yeah, roadkills are showing up more frequently. And now they are, where before the slugs were still there, I'd find a few of them hiding underneath pots and other places. But now with this kind of weather, they are bold, big and bold, and they are looking for food, our favorite flowers and cabbages and broccoli and all lettuce, all that kind of good stuff.
Squish them, stomp them, whatever you can do to get rid of them?
Whatever you can do, yes. Again, if you've got a nearby busy street, you gather up a bunch of them, put them on the center line, and, of course, then you're breeding for bigger and faster slugs for the survivors. But the old favorite of the slug baits that we can use, the ones that have the iron phosphate in them that are very safe, Sluggo and Escargot, are quite good, safe for animals, safe for birds, and all of that sort of thing. But you still do want to hide the stuff underneath the leaves, underneath a shingle, underneath something, or put them inside containers where the slugs will be attracted to them in those areas where the slugs hang out.
Because they like to go after the underside of leaves and that sort of thing.
They do. And the other thing, then you go out slug hunting, with a spray bottle with 25% plain ammonia and mixed with water. That works very well. Spray them down. They essentially slime themselves to death. I'm sure there's some there. I don't know if there's many slug huggers out there, but still, not if they're a gardener, I don't think.
Okay, and of course, you can always get yourself some mass market beer and set some traps, right?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, right. And again, drink half a bottle or whatever, or divide it out into those, and just again, tuck a bottle underneath the leaves, underneath the rhododendron leaves, underneath big leaves, and with the mouth right at ground level, and so they're attracted. But again, that only lasts for a short amount of time. A week or less. And
then
you've got to switch or buy more or whatever.
Because the beer evaporates eventually.
Well, yeah, it loses its attractiveness, even to slugs.
Okay, and there's also some other pests that have been roaming around, right?
Yeah, the big game is out moving too, and porcupines are moving. And some of the favorite porcupine vegetation is really growing beautifully right now. Strawberries are probably number one on the list, followed closely by raspberries and then by cherry trees. So you want to keep them out. I've got my strawberries in hanging baskets up on my porch, so they're out of reach. But the raspberries are down in beds, and they're starting to bloom. The bees are buzzing around them, pollinating very nicely. But I use netting, gill netting or seine webbing, and it's recyclable from down at the harbors if folks are a little bit diligent. If people are going to use fencing, the fencing has to be hung loosely enough and even to the point of not being attached at the upper part of the fence. So if you've got 4-foot posts and 4-foot fence, you attach it up to about 2 feet high and then leave the top unattached so the porcupine, when it tries to climb it, then the fence essentially flops over from his weight, her weight, their weight, and so they can't get up and over. Or you can also if you've got an electric fence and have wire fencing, put one wire up that will stick out either up at the top of the fence or up, and there are insulators. We should talk about electric fencing on itself probably. That will hold a hot wire off the fence post, so as they try to climb up, they hit the hot wire and decide maybe there's a better place to go.
And if I use wire fencing, I should probably just bend it over back toward the outside of the plant.
That's the other way, too, like I mentioned about leaving the top loose so it's not attached, or if you can bend it over so again, they climb up and then they can't climb out and up and over the top of it. So it's kind of L-shaped at the top. facing the outside. They are persistent. And again, that trying to keep them out of cherry trees is a challenge. You may have to do something different around those, including electric fencing or other, or netting around individual trees or around a group of trees to keep the critters out, because they will do major damage overnight in a tree.
Okay, Ed Byarski, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarski with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly Thursday morning feature here on KTOO Juneau.